impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out the other nostril, sucking out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs. Experience on-the-spot relief so you could breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier.
Navage is available at Sam's Club, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or online at Navage.com. Navage, breathe easy.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Supreme Court says it inadvertently and briefly posted on its website a document about a ruling over Idaho's ban on abortions. Although it's not final until officially released, the document, according to Bloomberg News, indicates the court would require Idaho to allow emergency access to abortions for now. Encounters along the southern border are down 40%, and 23,000 people have been returned to 40 countries in the 3 weeks since President Biden's order on new restrictions. That from Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in Tucson, Arizona.
These actions are changing the calculus for those considering crossing our border. Still, as I will continue to make clear, they are no substitute for congressional action.
Immigration expected to be an issue in tomorrow's first presidential debate. The Atlanta Hawks get the first pick in tonight's NBA draft. This is ABC News. In Kenya, after protests turned deadly with demonstrators angry over a finance bill, Kenya's president announced he is withdrawing the measure. At least 23 people were shot to death by police. The UN threatening to suspend all aid operations across the Gaza Strip if Israel does not take urgent steps to better protect humanitarian workers.
The UN asking for improved communication with the IDF and more protective gear. Lawlessness surpassing active combat now is the main obstacle to distributing food and medicine to Gazans. Hamas cells and criminal gangs regularly attacking and looting aid trucks. The State Department says it's working with Israel and the UN on solutions. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The CDC cautioning Americans to be on guard for an increased risk of dengue virus transmitted by mosquitoes in the U.S. Puerto Rico has declared a public health emergency. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. One of the Lincoln Hills school workers critically injured after an incident there has died. The Lincoln County coroner reported the 49-year-old man died from injuries suffered in an attack on him and a female staff member Monday night. The coroner said the man was determined to be brain dead Tuesday afternoon. According to the Department of Corrections, the two were attacked by a 16-year-old following outdoor recreation. The 25-year-old female victim was treated for her injuries and released. Another staff member, also attacked by the same youth later on, remains in critical condition after hitting their head on concrete. A former Milwaukee school board member could see prison time. Aisha Carr was charged Tuesday with misconduct in office after prosecutors say she was violating state law by living outside the school board district she was elected to represent. A criminal complaint alleges that Carr continued to live at her old address outside of that district, though she filed paperwork and got a driver's license for a new address within the district. Carr was also charged with theft by fraud for accepting payment for holding the position illegally. Carr, who resigned from the school board in May, could see over 13 years in prison if she's convicted. Four candidates are named as finalists for Milwaukee Public Schools interim superintendent. The names announced Tuesday include the district's acting superintendent, Eduardo Galvan, MPS Northwest Regional Superintendent Dr. Tony Dinkins, former Green Bay School District Superintendent Stephen Murley, and Dr. Darrell Williams, who is the Assistant State Superintendent for the Division of Libraries and Technology. MPS Superintendent Keith Posley resigned from his post earlier this month after financial irregularities within the district were revealed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the upper 70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 76.
Us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we got a lot to get to later on in the program. We're going to hear part of a recent conversation I had with Indiana farmer and board member for the United Soybean Board, Don Weiss. So we're going to talk about spring planting in the Eastern Corn Belt and some thoughts he has on all the varying weather challenges that we've had here in recent growing seasons. So that's coming up at segment four. No doubt we'll talk weather issues and also look ahead to Friday's USDA reports in segment three as we talk markets with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. In segment two, we'll talk with Alan Schaefer, the Executive Director of the Engine Technology Forum. They've got some new data that has been released. We are going to talk with Alan coming up here about their annual look into heavy-duty truck data and more. So all of that is coming up here on today's AOA. Let's kick off the program and talk news headlines and more with DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. Todd, welcome back to the show. And I got to say, I'm sure you got a lot on your plate right now. There are plenty of stories that I know you've been reporting on and covering, one of which we should start with the approval by the Iowa Utilities Board of the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline project in Iowa here on Tuesday. And I believe a lot of this is still a ways to go with this project, but a lot of this kind of has centered around the discussion on eminent domain and things like that. Right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. The board yesterday, they put out a 507-page order and decision based on, you know, they had a public hearing, I believe it was back in the fall of last year, and they basically allowed or cleared the way for Summit to use the eminent domain law to acquire the land that's needed to complete the project. So the board did stop short of actually giving out a construction permit, And that's going to be at some later point here too. But one of the things that I think is interesting about this project is, you know, it covers a number of states, South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa. And so there are other bodies, regulatory bodies in other states that have, you know, the processes they go through as well to complete. But the thing about what the Utilities Board in Iowa did yesterday, that covers more than half of the miles of a 1,250-mile pipeline. And so it's considered to be probably one of the most important bit of action that Summit could have received yesterday. And I think, as we go into this, we're already seeing, we have seen from the beginning lots of opposition to this, at least a vocal opposition. And so it's kind of, I think there's still a lot to play out. I think you're going to see, at least an appeal brought to the Iowa Utilities Board on this, and then probably going to see it play out in the court system to some degree as well.
I would agree with that. It's just with so much of that local opposition that's out there to this, still feels like a long ways to go. And I think a lot of focus is going to shift back to the Dakotas now and some of the regulatory conversations and more that are happening there. So we'll keep our eyes on this. It's a story I know, of course, we've been following for quite some time now. A couple other things that are going on that I want to make sure we talk about, Todd. There's been numerous lawsuits and petitions from ag and ethanol groups to the EPA here in recent weeks. And in terms of the lawsuits, a lot of these, and there's multiple of them, focusing on the light and medium duty vehicle emission standards and the heavy duty vehicle emission standards. And then I know there's been some new studies released as well here, looking at low carbon fuels and flex fuels, et cetera, from RFA, Renewable Fuels Association, here just today. So, I mean, walk us through what you've been reporting on here. There's just a lot going on here in this news item, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely, Jesse. You know, I think a lot of this has been building up in the past 4 years. You know, when the Biden administration made it known quite early that they were going to push the electric vehicle, mandates and other things. And so what we're seeing now is a lot of pushback. The latest was last week. We had National Corn Growers, American Farm Bureau, joining the American Petroleum Institute and others in a lawsuit that was filed in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. They basically challenged the heavy-duty vehicle emissions standards that were released by the EPA. And I think the biggest thing, clearly the center of all this, is electrification. And so the idea of getting large heavy-duty vehicles electrified to meet these standards is quite a tall task. It's really, I think this whole thing is going to play out in a number of courts and a number of, front. But certainly what the RFA put out a couple of different studies today, in fact, talking about how, greenhouse gas emissions reductions can be achieved with greater success. You know, if we move to a low carbon fuel standard on a national level, you know, we see those in a number of states, like especially on the West Coast. And the other part was another study talking about if we just increase the use of E85 in the existing fleet of flexible fuel vehicles. And so, in both of those studies, it found that there'd be more carbon emissions reductions compared to, this push to electric vehicle mandates. And so you're right. This thing is so multifaceted, but I think the ethanol industry has made a point from the beginning that they wanted to be a part of the discussion. So far, we haven't seen a lot of that from the Biden administration. It's been pretty much electric vehicles or bust.
And two, RFS talk as well again here, all kind of coupled in with this separate issue. Clean Fuels Alliance America, they got a petition against EPA here looking at increasing some RFS volumes. Talk about that real quick, Todd.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, in June of last year when they EPA finalized the set rule, which was for multi-years of the RFS volumes, biomass-based diesel was very concerned about the numbers that were finalized. They made the case all along, even before the finalization, that the market producers could produce quite a bit more fuel than what the RFS has given them credit for. So Clean Fuels came out with a petition earlier this week. They want the EPA to bump up those volumes. I believe in 2024, the volumes, they want to be bumped up to 5.1 billion gallons and then 5.6 billion in 2025. So those are quite a bit higher than what the EPA had finalized last June. I think this kind of a petition is pretty unusual, you know, and a part of that has to do with the fact that we've got a, you know, we're in the era where the EPA kind of determines the volumes. And so I don't know whether the EPA is going to take this seriously or not, but this is going to be that kind of that first test to see see what the agency is willing to do.
Folks can stay up to date with your reporting at DTNPF.com. Todd Neely, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Always good to talk with Todd Neely there from DTN. Up next, we'll talk with Alan Schaefer from the Engine Technology Forum. This is AOA.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, Farm Radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, in that first segment with Todd Neely from DTN, we talked about a few different biofuels related heavy duty vehicle emissions related issues and things like that. various lawsuits and more that are out there right now, but also looking at different studies and information in favor of a lot of the work that is going on here throughout the industry in terms of these, you know, zero, net zero emissions, things like that. And I know new data out here this week from the Engine Technology Forum, something we're going to take a look at right now. We're going to kind of keep this discussion going here today on AOA. Joining us now for a conversation, he is the Executive Director of the Engine Technology Forum, Alan Schaefer. We welcome him back to the program. Alan, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm great, Jesse. Thanks for having us again.
You bet, you bet. And let's just kind of start, and I know this is a kind of an annual look into heavy-duty truck data that you guys work on here with ETF. So give us just kind of this overview to start, this 30,000-foot view of this new data and this new research that we're talking about today.
Sure thing. Well, we take a look every year and try and understand what the demographics are of America's truck and bus fleets. That is, what kind of fuels and technology are powering those vehicles on the road. And the way we do that is by acquiring data from S&P Global Mobility. And we look at every single state's registration data, basically, and understand what kind of vehicles are on the road, what model years they are, what vintages, what kind of fuel they're using, and shake all that out in a big spreadsheet and come to some conclusions. So we just looked at the year-end 2023 data and just released this yesterday. And, you know, it's no surprise that internal combustion engines using fossil fuels are the dominant technology powering America's trucks and bus fleets. And you know, it might be a surprise to some because there's so much headlines in the news about electrification and zero-emission vehicles, as you pointed out, that we're hearing about that each and every day from different places. But when you get right down to looking at the numbers of what's on the road, they tell a different story. And the transition to zero emissions technology is fairly slow, I think we would say. Looking across all these different sectors, transit buses actually the ones that have the most electric vehicles. About 7.8% of all transit buses in the cities are running on battery electric vehicles. Commercial trucks, there's about 20,000 units out there, and these are class 3 through 8 vehicles. So pickup and delivery on up to the tractor trailer size rigs, 20,000 are powered by electric, and we're in the 14 million or so powered by internal combustion engines, principally diesel. And same thing goes on the school buses. We hear a tremendous amount of effort by the Biden administration to electrify America's school buses, and today, we see that there's about 2,000 of those on the road that are battery electric, and that's out of about 500,000 registered across the U.S. So the energy transition is underway at some level, but we still have a pretty hefty reliance on good old-fashioned internal combustion engines to get the job done.
Well, and thinking about that reliance on internal combustion engines, you know, and I think this goes well with some of the news items we're hearing here just in recent weeks. But, you know, the growth of advanced diesels and new gasoline blends and things like that. I mean, it, you know, that's kind of what the heart of this research can talk about a little bit more is that we're seeing, you know, cleaner communities, cleaner air, even with using internal combustion engines, because we're running cleaner fuels in many cases and continuing to develop cleaner fuels. Right, Alan?
Exactly. Exactly, Jesse. And one of the key findings out of this study is that today about 61% of all the commercial trucks, and that's from the big rigs on down to the little box trucks, about 61% of those are 2010 and newer model years. So that means that they're fully equipped with all the most advanced emissions control technology, particulate filters, selective catalytic reduction, all that stuff. So that's up about 9% from the previous year. So we see a lot of continued investment in that technology. And recognizing that really one of the ways that we can contribute quickly to a cleaner environment and reducing greenhouse gas emissions is just to have newer stuff. Newer advanced diesel, gasoline, natural gas vehicles on the road are the ones are very clean, especially if you're replacing something that's, you know, over 10 years old. You're going to get huge benefits in emissions reduction and also gains in fuel economy. So That is one of the key findings here. And I think, you know, to pick up a little bit on your previous segment, the use of renewable fuels here across this platform of internal combustion engines offers really our most substantial and immediate opportunity to reduce carbon emissions, carbon and other emissions, I should say, in the near term. And I think, you know, last year, about 2.8 billion gallons of renewable diesel and about 1.9 billion gallons of conventional biodiesel were consumed in the U.S. And that's displacing a good amount of diesel fuel and contributing to air quality benefits in all those communities that without any change in vehicles, no change in fueling infrastructure, and it's relying on a lot of America's homegrown fuel crops and things that, you know, we're using soybean oil, obviously use cooking oil, waste animal fats, all of that getting much more sophisticated in the feedstocks, processing to produce these high quality drop-in replacement renewable fuels. So that is a great success story. And I wish we had more emphasis on that from a policy perspective within this current administration.
We're talking with Alan Schaefer, Executive Director of the Engine Technology Forum. And to that point as well, you know, it seems like this administration just continues to push the EVs, you know, the electric vehicles and trying to get more, you know, of our fleets, our heavy duty vehicles as EVs. But I know I've talked with many folks, and you and I've talked about this before, that the infrastructure is really not there. And I noticed a interesting piece in your guys' study here that, you know, we talk about diesel and gas, but even there's some internal combustion engines that have been adapted for natural gas, propane fuel, you know, to get around. And that's a segment that I feel like there could be some growth there as well, even more so, and maybe even be more efficient than EVs. Now, I'm not basing that off anything. I noticed that and I go, I feel like that's another area as well that I personally would maybe even place ahead of, you know, electric vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, there are many ways to improve the sustainability of our commercial fleets and mobility. And certainly vehicle electrification is one of those. I think, you know, we have issues there about the availability of infrastructure and vehicles and how these will be accepted by fleets to use those. And for some fleets, that's going to work really well. And for others, it's a non-starter at this point. Maybe, you know, down the road at some time, but right today, that's not going to do it. So we see, you know, the use of internal combustion engines and renewable fuels is really being a tremendous technology that's here and available now that can deliver carbon and other emission reductions now. And we should probably be taking more advantage of that. And, you know, when I think about the farm sector, I think, boy, we got great use of renewable biofuels coming out of the fields and the crops there. We also have a great story on renewable natural gas. And for folks that are in livestock and feeding operations, you know, you're getting a ready-made gas produced every day. And 79% of all the natural gas that was used in transportation last year was renewable. So it's being captured from landfills and livestock manure operations. And that is an incredibly valuable asset we have. And it is carbon intensity is off the charts in the negative terms. So It is one of the best things that you can do to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. If you have the opportunity to run renewable natural gas, I mean, that is a great opportunity there.
Well, Alan, as we wrap things up here in this segment today, I know folks want to take a look at this full study. They can go to enginetechforum.org. Any other final thoughts you would share with us here about this latest technology as we wrap things up today?
Sure. I think that, you know, just I'll leave you with one or two little stats here. I think, you know, the newest generation of advanced diesel trucks on the road with all the advanced emissions control technologies, they outnumber electric trucks that are available today by 367-1. So we have a long ways to go before we see a tremendous replacement of internal combustion engines or diesel in America's trucking fleet. You know, we all have a commitment to do better for the environment. And, you know, you have to decide what the best way to do that for you is. And we think that using the most advanced internal combustion engine and the cleanest fuels you can find And it's going to be a great combination to get you down the road.
Alan Schaefer, Executive Director, Engine Technology Forum. Alan, good to talk with you again. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great day.
Find more again at enginetechforum.org. Coming up next on AOA, got some big reports at the end of the week that could have some substantial market impacts. We'll talk about that more with Arlen Suderman from StoneX next on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Listening to a
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage
and helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. July milk up 6 to 1953, August up 32 to 2041, September up 46 to 2050, October up 53 to 2026. Live and feeder cattle markets and hogs all moving up, mostly higher. For the cattle markets, weakness in some of the corn markets, also expectations of higher cash markets as well, and higher boxed beef prices all supporting the cattle. Hogs higher on higher pork cutout values led by the bellies and some short covering due to oversold conditions. June live cattle up $1.95 to $1.9142. August up $1.95 to $2.61. July hogs up 65 cents to $89.65. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets mostly lower. Warmer weather looks to persist into the beginning of July, but some parts of the corn belt will be wet in the short term. Soybeans moving mostly higher. The spread trade continues to firm ahead of the coming USDA crop report. Oil leading the product complex higher as well. Wheat markets mostly higher. Short covering amid oversold conditions, and there's still some harvest pressure as the winter wheat harvest is approximately 7 to 10 days ahead of schedule. July corn down a half to 425. New crop down 1 3/4 to 441 1/4. July beans up 7 3/4 to 1171. New crop down 1/4 to 1111 1/4. July wheat in Chicago now up 2 1/2 to 544 1/4.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we continue here on AOA, we look at the markets. We got a lot going on. We're nearing the end of the month, quarter. We got USDA reports at the end of this week. And yeah, plenty of weather issues and concerns out there in these markets for really the U.S., the globe, you name it. A lot going on, but yet the grains kind of feel like they lack enough of a story right now. It's just been a it's been an interesting couple of sessions here, no doubt. Let's talk about what's happening in the markets and get some perspective on things. Joining us now on AOA, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. Arlen, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Pretty good. Better than the markets, unfortunately. They're not doing as well. We are seeing a little bit of a bounce attempt in wheat and the nearby soybean contracts today. But unfortunately, we're living in an era now with expanded position limits allowed, and those position limits being driven by algo computers that put trades on that account for the majority of our trades in today's world, with billions of dollars behind them from the speculative funds, where they are programmed to trade momentum. And so when momentum gets going in one direction, they take it as far as they can until something forces them to turn direction, and then they take it the other direction. So we see this increased volatility and wider trading ranges as a result. And so a lot of times it gets very frustrating to both farmers and to end users to see this kind of volatility and the breadth of these trading ranges. But it is the world that we live in today.
I'm glad you set it up that way, because I would even say 5-6 years ago, maybe I'd say maybe before the pandemic, these markets would see the massive flooding in the northwestern Corn Belt, Iowa, South Dakota, Minnesota, would hear the talk of heat and dryness sustained in the eastern and southern Corn Belt here for a period of time. And I would say, you know, 5-6 years ago, these markets would have probably rallied fairly sharply on news like that. But yet here we are. And to your point, just not really moving anything. In fact, the trend kind of remains bearish here in the grains.
Yeah, the funds really don't know, fund managers, many of them don't even know what a corn plant looks like. So when these are the people kind of controlling it, they're simply following what the projected ending stocks are, which right now are projected to be over 2 billion bushels for the coming year. And they're failed to be convinced that anything's going to change that. Now, we're hearing a lot of 1993, and certainly for those people who are impacted by the floods, this event is actually worse than it was in 1993 for that area of southern Minnesota, southwestern or southeastern South Dakota, northwestern Iowa. To this point, the rains are more intense than they were in 1993. That area is seeing either the wettest past 30 days or the second or third wettest on record, looking at 132 years worth of records. If you go back to 1993 and look at that same period of time, that same region was seeing like the eighth or the 10th or in that ballpark wettest period on record for that time period. But in 1993, it was more widespread, and 1993 was just getting started, really, and building momentum. And that period between mid-June and mid-July was the most intense. So if you extend that period from late May into late July, in 1993, it was the wettest on record for a broad area of the Midwest, much broader area than what we've seen to this point this year. So for those people encountering the flooding to this point, this is a bad deal. I mean, it's really having a negative impact, and that's good. That's really concentrated production area. It's just a much smaller area, and a much bigger part of the Midwest is dealing with dry soils and looking at rains in the forecast coming up in the days ahead.
We're talking with Arlen Suderman from Stone X. Arlen, USDA reports coming up on Friday. And I think to your point where our discussion's been going so far, I feel like a lot of funds and algo computers are going to be programmed to trade whatever the numbers are on Friday, whether we agree or disagree with those numbers. I would have to imagine to expect some volatility coming up on Friday here with those acreage and grain stocks numbers, both of which are known for their surprises, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, the acreage numbers are based on farmer surveys that really concluded in the first part of June before the flooding really got going in that part of the northwestern Midwest. And so we anticipate that even though planting was delayed a little bit more than what we anticipated, it's going to reflect those intentions to go ahead and finish it. And I think what we're going to see probably is an effort by USDA to perhaps resurvey some of those areas most affected. I think the bigger question is going to start surfacing about what our harvested acreage is going to be in that area, because let's just face it, some of that flooded area needs to be replanted. It's getting too late to replant much of it. Water levels are very slow to go down, so it's going to become a debate about harvested acreage. But frankly, I don't think the acreage story is going to carry for very long. I think the bigger focus is going to be on yield and what kind of weather pattern we set up for July and August. That'll probably carry the greater weight. Now, the stocks numbers, that's where we tend to get bigger surprises. And those surprises are oftentimes defy logic as to the direction of which direction they are, particularly the corn stocks number from a historical standpoint. So that does have the potential to be a market mover. We just don't know which direction.
Overall here, Arlen, thinking about this too, and I can bring the macro markets into this picture. We've had a lot of talk, and you and I have talked about this a lot before too, this commodity deflation type of environment. And talk about that a little bit, because that still feels like that is something that is overarching this entire trade, whether we're talking grains or livestock for that matter.
Yeah, for quite a while, really going back to mid-June of 2022 on, we were in a commodity deflation mode as the Fed was raising interest rates, and the funds were assuming that those raised interest rates were for the purpose of slowing down the economy. And it wasn't just our central bank, it was central banks around the world. So slowing economies around the world would decreased demand for commodities, and so they were shorting the commodities and just looking at it as a commodity deflation mode. And then about 6-7 months ago, we started saying we expected reinflation to come back, which would make the funds nervous being short the commodities, and we thought that would happen by the second quarter. And lo and behold, in late April, they unwound their short positions. They did so, and we saw quite a rally, which gave us a selling opportunity in these markets. But then we started seeing the data kind of turn, and that period of the concerns about reinflation eased. We still think that the longer-term trend is going to be reinflation. We don't see anything changing in that. But it's the ebb and flow of that transition period. And so right now, those concerns are easing once again, and they're thinking, okay, slowing economy, less demand, short the commodities. We don't expect them to go back to the level of shorting that they were before, even though prices are down to those levels, because we've seen a lot of selling, not just from the funds, but from farmers selling on both sides of the equator. But for now, it's given us depressed prices. We do think that we're in a time now when prices are becoming very attractive to end users who need to extend coverage. Farmer selling has dried up largely. We're getting to the end of the month and the end of the fiscal quarter when a lot of funds want to square their positions on their books. And we've got those reports you mentioned on Friday, which are known for their surprises, leaving them a little bit nervous about leaning too far one way or the other. So we do have been expecting that to provide at least some stability and possibly an opportunity for a bounce into Friday's reports.
Arlen, we got just a little over a minute here as we wrap up our conversation today, and I could go a number of ways with this. I guess I'll leave this open to you. I mean, what do you want folks to remember here as we work into the end of the month and with all this different data going on and maybe some depression out there in terms of prices and the farm economy and things like that. I mean, what do you want folks to really take to heart and remember right now?
Well, we've been in a period previously where it was easy to periodically hit home runs in our marketing. Now we're entering a period when there's still going to be opportunities. I still believe that. But we have to focus on hitting singles and doubles with our marketing plan and having the discipline to take advantage of rallies to do so. And until these dynamics change, we get more momentum under commodities, I think we need to be quick to take the advantage of opportunities when they present themselves.
And when all else fails, if you got some extra cash, go buy some NVIDIA stock, right, Arlen?
That does seem to be the focus on Wall Street right now.
Definitely, definitely. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Arlen, it's always great to have a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, look forward to it, Jesse.
Arlen Suderman joining us here. Good thoughts from him. A lot going on in these markets right now that folks got to pay attention to, but I think his last point was a very good one. Singles and doubles, that might be what gets it done with your marketing plan right now. Instead of trying to swing for that home run, a single and a double is not too bad if you can string a few of them together. All right, coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to have a conversation with Indiana farmer and director on the United Soybean Board, Don Weiss. We'll talk spring planting and growing conditions in his neck of the woods and more. We'll hear that conversation next on AOA.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
On the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we continue here today on AOA, late last week, I was able to sit down and have a conversation with Indiana farmer and United Soybean Board Director Don Weiss. We talked about the spring planting season in his area in the Eastern Corn Belt and some of the things that the United Soybean Board is doing to help soybean farmers with new technologies to combat drought and wet weather conditions and all the weather volatility that we are seemingly having here in recent years. So let's listen into part of that conversation with Don Weiss from the United Soybean Board. Well, let's just start this off and give us a bit of a rundown on how spring planting and the early growing season has gone for you and your neighbors in Indiana. I know definitely weather has been a hot topic, of course, whether we were getting a lot of rain early or now we're getting a lot of heat and humidity, things like that in the Eastern Corn Belt. So talk about just how this year has gone so far.
Well, you mentioned the word hot topic. We are in the midst of a hot and humid week here in northern Indiana. But reflecting back into the month of April, we had our wettest April here in history in northern Indiana. And, of course, that delayed planting. We have naturally worked through the month of May into early June to get that planting done at this point, along with some replant. But definitely a challenge this week with hot weather coupled with drying out.
Well, and thinking about that big shift as well, and I think about last year's growing season as well, it just, I think it goes to speak, Don, that year to year, even month to month, week to week, it just feels like there's always different challenges that we have to combat in our fields, isn't there?
You're exactly right. When I sit here and think about each year being a little bit of a different twist weather-wise, you know, it makes me appreciate the investments that USB is doing in the areas of just looking into research on new soybean varieties and bringing some of those new technologies to market. But you're right. Looking back to last year, we faced a extremely dry growing season, especially mid-May to mid-June, where we went a period of over 3 weeks with not one drop of moisture. And so it just really challenged that early growing and developing crop. And then we turned dry in that last half of August, which is never good for soybean yields in our area. So yeah, you're right. Every year is different. We need to be able to react and rely on some of these new soybean varieties are out there in those fields.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned some of the investment from the Soy Checkoff into different variety research that is, you know, more tolerant to volatile weather conditions. I think of drought, for instance. I mean, just that's the biggest one, I think, is, you know, finding new varieties that could withstand, you know, going days upon weeks, maybe without some rainfall. So talk a little bit more about some of the most recent research investments from the United Soybean Board and the Soy Checkoff into that research.
Well, you know, the checkoff dollars are invested in a lot of different areas, but one of those areas is funding research tools and other focuses on genetics to make soybeans, you know, more weather tolerable, drought resistant being one of those. Also, you know, we're working with researchers to help these soybean varieties withstand different pests and also bring other beneficial qualities into these plants as well to, in the end, give us that better yield.
Well, and I know that looking at that research, that's one piece of the puzzle. There's other things, though, too, that, of course, I'm sure you could speak to as a farmer, soil health being one of them. I mean, if we don't have good soil health, and I know there's a lot of research and work being done there, if we don't have good soil health, then we're not getting that that crop off to a good start, you know, and so that plays such a big role, doesn't it?
Well, you know, when you think about soil health, it you know, and some of these weather events, it seems like we have more of these more significant weather events each year. And so USB and Soy Checkoff is working hard to focus on what we see as beneficial to the soil and bringing those health attributes into more of a focus, and these areas really work with a program like Farmers for Soil Health, where we are working with some key partners, including the National Corn Growers and National Pork Board, where there's a cost share program out there, and also assistance to farmers to grow items like cover crops and open up those soils. And hold that moisture in times like this week where we are in a dry and hot period. If that cover crop is down, I could take you out to a field on our farm where, you know, the moisture is still beneficial on that underneath that cover crop to help conserve moisture instead of losing it to the sun.
Education. Let's talk about that a little bit. Your role as a director for the United Soybean Board, I think a lot of the practices that we talk about all the time, a lot of the different things we look at, a lot of this research and more, it really comes down to educating our growers across the country and getting them as much information as they could possibly use to help inform the decisions on their operation. Right, Don?
Absolutely. You know, and the bottom line is that there is a tremendous amount of work going into different projects that that our soybean checkoff funds and USB, you know, chooses those projects each and every year as far as how to invest those checkoff dollars. But in the end, it's getting that information back out to farmers. And there's a fantastic resource for bringing those best practices into light. And that would be, I'm going to give you a website here real quick, Jesse. It's the soybeanresearchinfo.com. And that is a fantastic source where farmers or anyone that's interested in ag can go and see those insights on different research projects and insights on best practices each and every year. Naturally, as farmers are trying to seek that best yield, you know, and trying to work around these weather conditions that so often can give us a roadblock or give us a hurdle that we need to overcome.
And you can find the rest of that conversation with Don Weiss from the United Soybean Board on the Market Talk YouTube channel, youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg. We're out of time here on AOA. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out.